Jerry, it's always a pleasure to listen to you. I like the way you unfold the accounts of events in the scriptures. You know, I don't consider it secrecy when Jesus told the demons to hush. If I were going into a town to hold a gospel meeting and a man who was a drug kingpin would come out and say, "I want everybody to come and hear Brother Richard Munner preach," that would not be beneficial. And I think Jesus just did not want the commendation of the evil spirits, lest that already people were making the accusation, his enemies, that he was Belial, or he was, you know, a servant of the devil. So I think that's the reason that he told the demons to be quiet. You probably have hit the nail on the head on why he didn't want the other people to be saying anything. You know, I'm not sure because I don't have my reference books in front of me or whatever, but I think this word mystery is it's sometimes used as it's a term that's used in military affairs. Did you read that?
Yes. Yeah, it was used by the military, a secret plan that they had sealed until it was revealed. And so God had a secret military plan, really, to defeat the devil.
Yeah, and the way that it would work, he would call one general in and he would tell him, "You're going to bring your forces in when you hear a trumpet sounded." And then he would dismiss him and he would call another one in. And he would get, but they were, no two generals knew what the whole plan was. Right. Only the military leader knew. He would instruct those that were under him, here's your part and here's your part. And so to each of the prophets, he was revealing different aspects of the plan. And so they were constantly looking, saying, what does this mean? How's this going to work?
That's good. That's a good point. Okay. Here a little, there a little. You know, like I say, you reveal some. So none of them had the whole complete plan. They couldn't understand it until it was revealed.
Right. And I just might add that on Galatians 3:16, I think that's really a fulfillment of Genesis 22 and verse 18. That's the passage that says, "In your seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed."
Linda France and Bart Shaw.
Thanks, brother. What was the criteria, do you think, for why some people were told to tell it and others were told to be quiet?
That's a good... In fact, there was... You know, I was in Edmond last week in a meeting, and so I practiced on them as well. And I told them, if you have any questions or comments or criticism, let me know. And so somebody came up and said, he told the Samaritan woman, "I that speaking to them, he told her explicitly, I'm the Messiah." And then he stayed with them and they concluded he's the Savior of the world. So he shared with the Samaritans what he wouldn't share with the Jews as a whole. And over there in the country of the Gadarenes, I mean, I think they were Jews. Some people say they were Gentiles, but I think they were Jews who had digressed, we would say, and they were keeping pigs, obviously. And he told that man, go tell your friends and neighbors. He told him to tell it. And so this man's idea was, not after that, he would share it with the Samaritans and the Gadarenes, but he wouldn't share it. He certainly wasn't going to share it with the Jewish leaders and leadership. It'd been dangerous for him. And the general population wasn't ready. They wanted to take him by force and make him a king. So
one other similar question, as you said, one reason he would keep it secret is that if some people found out, they would kill him. Do you think another way of saying it is if some people found out, he wouldn't die? if everybody believed he was the Messiah, they wouldn't have killed him. And if they hadn't killed him, then we wouldn't be saved.
Well, that's true, of course. If they,
I wondered if that might be another way of looking at it.
If they'd all believed, but I don't think that would have happened no matter what happened. They weren't all going to believe. But yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so thank you. It was really good. And strange, my point lines right up with Clint's. So here's a crazy idea. Maybe the secrecy has something to do with a Davidic type, because when David was anointed, it was done in secret. In 1 Samuel 17, Samuel said, I can't go anoint him. Saul will kill me and kill him. And God said, well, here's this ruse. You say you're going to do a sacrifice, and then you anoint him in secret. And so it was a secret, because Goliath happens right after. It's the next, it's the anointing's in 16, isn't it? And then Goliath is in 17. So that event occurs, and obviously Saul didn't know about it. So the Jews weren't told. And then, of course, the Jews, David came to his own, and they rejected him. You know, there's a civil war over that. And so it's, and I think you're exactly right about the people that weren't told were the Jews, and it was the Gentiles who were told, because Smith, I distinctly remember, a year ago or 2 years ago, talked about the Gadarenes and said that that was the Decapolis, and they were Gentiles. And if I'm wrong about that, I'm sure he'll tell me in a second. So I think they're Gentiles. And in Matthew 8, there's three incidents in there. At the beginning, there's a Jew that is healed, and Jesus says, don't go tell anybody. And then you have the centurion that has such great faith, and Jesus says, amazing faith. And then the incident with the Gadarenes. So it seems to be that it's, in a sense, an expression to the Gentiles that they are going to hear the gospel and that it's going to be hidden. You know, we know the scripture says that God stopped the ears and the eyes of the Jews to some degree. And wasn't Mark written to Gentiles? Maybe the reason Mark has most of these is, and I've often thought that Mark left Paul on the first missionary journey. No proof of this, obviously, but maybe Mark left Paul because he was revolted by the fact that Paul's preaching, you know, in Europe and going about preaching to the Roman, and Mark says, I'm out of here, goodbye, and then later recants and writes a gospel to the Gentiles.
There are no crazy ideas. That's a good idea about David there, right? You know, he was anointed in secret for his safety, and until it was revealed. And finally it was revealed, and that's kind of a type of Jesus. There was a purpose in that, you know. Ever thought about that?
There are some crazy ideas.
Well, there are.
Alan Bonifay.
Bart doesn't have any, though, as far as I know.
Shall I?
Enjoyed hearing you, Jerry. I always do. I think that one of the reasons that you gave is very important. There are several reasons that Jesus, as you said, told people not to tell. One of them was, and you mentioned this, he had more to do than perform miracles. And he knew that if word got around too much about that, he would be hindered. And he was generous and loving and kind and wanted to help everyone. And like, for instance, in Mark 2, he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then they bring all the people to the door, and he is late, and a great while before day, he gets up and goes out into the desert. The disciples come find him, finally, and they say, everybody's looking for you. Well, what do you think they were looking for him for? And he said, we have to go to these other cities to preach the gospel. He had more to do than perform miracles. Now, I did want to mention one thing about this Gadarene deal. And I'm in a weak place here because I can't think of the passage. I asked my friend Richard and he couldn't help me either. But I'm pretty sure that after Mark 5, when Jesus goes over there and he meets those two men and casts the demons out, and then they get in the boat and they go back. And Jesus tells him, no, you stay here and tell everybody. I think about a year later, but I can't come up with the passage right now, Jesus goes back to the Decapolis. And so he told that man to go tell everybody because that man's laying the groundwork for a mission work a year from then. And that was a different region than over here in Judea. And so I think that's why he told him to tell everybody. And these other times, you have all these reasons why he's not.
It's
Mark 7:31. See, I put a little pressure on him. He came up with it.
There's a passage right after that, or right in that area where Jesus wanted to go through Galilee with his disciples, but he couldn't because everybody was trying to. They wanted bread, they wanted miracles, and he wanted to spend some time with his disciples alone, especially toward the end. And that's why he went up out of into Tyre up there, and he didn't want anybody to know he was there. And then that Syrophoenician woman came.
That reminded me what you said earlier about the woman at the well, and Jesus told her to go tell. Part of what's going on there is Jesus is teaching his disciples not to be racist. And so he sets up that whole situation for her to go bring the city out there. And his disciples come back in the middle of all that. They don't know what's going on, but they do know what it means to be a silent partner. They knew better than interrupt Jesus. And so Jesus said, say not it's 4 months till the harvest. The harvest has come already. He's talking about the people coming out there. And so part of all of that deal is showing the disciples that the Samaritans are included in the gospel call, even though they were despised by the Jews.
Right.
Matt Tyson.
Thank you, brother. My question is, you know, you're talking about the differences in timeline, and why is it that sometimes Jesus would tell somebody that he performed a miracle with not to tell, but then would go and perform a miracle in front of what scholars say 9,000-10,000 people?
Well, that's a question. That's a good question. He did though. And you know they were going to tell. In fact, they kept coming back, and he's told them on another occasion, you're coming just for the bread. You know, I don't know the answer to that. Except he was moved, as I think you said, or somebody said, he was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude. And he asked the disciples, do we have something for him to eat? No. So he's moved with compassion, and you know, that's the only miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 plus, the only miracle that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the only miracle, if I'm not mistaken, that all four gospel writers record. So it must have impressed them. It's an impressive miracle. But you know, those people told it.
You know, Jerry, just to comment on that deal in John 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, and then he said, you seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you ate the bread. That's a unique sermon in the Bible. It's the only sermon in the entire Word of God that is preached specifically to drive people away. And Jesus knew these people were following him for the wrong motives. And he preached that sermon about eating my flesh, drinking my blood, I'm the bread of life, to drive away those people who were false disciples. And he set that up by the feeding of the 5,000. And so, you know, people did go tell that, but we also have the deal of Jesus is getting further into his ministry and his hour is approaching at some point.
Any other brother?
Well, I was thinking, you know, somebody over in, this might open up a whole another can of worms, but somebody in Edmond said, you know, maybe, you know, it talks about the fact that the mystery is made known to angels. So the angels desire to look into these things, and the manifold wisdom of God is being made known by the church to principalities and heavenly places. And so this person theorized that maybe, you know, Satan fell, these other angels were cast down, and there was no redemption for them. But God was working out a plan to redeem man. And maybe the angels were thinking, what's God doing? They didn't know the plan. And so Jesus comes. He comes, and the angels knew he's the Son of God. He's our Creator, and he comes as a man. And then he allows himself to be beaten and nailed to a cross. You know, Jesus told Peter, I could pray, and he'd send 12 legions of angels. They were ready to go. Why is he doing this? Why is he dying? And finally, they, I think, understood after he was raised from the dead. When that angel came and rolled that stone away, and Jesus was already out, and the women came, he said, he's not here. I don't think that angel knew that before it happened. And it was revealed to them for their benefit, just like it's revealed to us. I thought that was kind of an interesting, provocative idea.